Thanks. Thank you so much, Brother Presley, for playing, and appreciate that. I continue to pray for them. Hard to think, but they're a little ways through their semester already, and so all our college students, pray for them. If you've not had a chance, by the way, make sure you do, even though we're in February, grab your devotional book. Grab some guide that will help you. And then, I know the weather was odd this morning, but we'd love to have you in our adult Bible classes, our junior classes, our teen classes for Sunday school. Study the scriptures. We have a good time together, and it's a place to connect. We want you to do that. We're talking about the family this month, and we started off talking about marriage. We'd love to have you there. Be in your place, and I think you'll appreciate that. I think you need the scripture to grow, and I think we need each other to be what we ought to be as a church, and we really do. We're in a unique time right now, and in our church's history, and we certainly need each other. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we just read it together. Let me read it back to you, and we'll pray. I want to get right in the message. Verse 23, the God of peace sanctify, that is, make you holy, and make all of you holy, and I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, body, and I don't think he's talking about different parts here, he's just talking about all of us, be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. I would love to start today talking about God is faithful. God is faithful. Pray with me one more time. Now, Spirit of God, my heart and minds are not here right now. Or they're I'm struggling. I'm with Lydia and I'm with Shirley. And so I pray I'll be completely focused right here this moment. I pray you'd fill me and use me. I pray you'd speak to every heart. And I pray you get all the honor and the glory out of this morning. There are people here that are hurting. There are people here who have spiritual needs. Lord, there are folks who have not made the decision to commit to Christ, to commit to you. They've not turned from their sins and to you. And they're not willing to leave that lifestyle behind yet. And Lord, you're speaking to them. So I pray that you would up and down each aisle, each row, thank you for what you're doing, want to do here. And I pray you'd use us for your kingdom's sake. Lord, I love you and I need you right now. Help me, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. And amen. Amen. God is faithful. God is faithful. How many of you that expression makes you smile, makes you happy? That's a wonderful expression. How many of you like saying it for someone else? That person is faithful. Anybody? That's a compliment in your mind. Nod your head if that's a compliment. How many of you, if someone's unfaithful, that's a negative. Anybody, that's a negative thing, or unfaithful. It's a weird thing, even though that's a word I don't know we use a whole lot, we all kind of grab a hold of it, and we like it. And let's go ahead and make sure I'm recording back there. And we use that idea there. And we talk about God being faithful. I wonder sometimes why it strikes a nerve. Hey, by the way, this is one of those things that's just, it's cross-cultural, economic lines, socioeconomic lines. So we're talking about this. Why do we struggle? If we say it's a positive, nod your head if it's a positive. If we say unfaithfulness is a negative, and nobody wants to be considered unfaithful, then why do we struggle? Why aren't we better at being faithful? Anybody besides the preacher struggle sometimes with being faithful in certain things, certain areas, certain responsibilities? Just okay. Some of you are nodding, yeah. And how many of you don't like being tagged unfaithful? Man, that's just a bad thing, isn't it? Bad thing. So why is that? I want to just walk us through a few of these and get into the scripture here this morning. Really getting through. Let me help you. Number one, I think faithfulness is hard. finally, something I can feel good about in church. Amen. Faithfulness is hard. Faithfulness is absolutely, positively hard. To be faithful, to be what I'm supposed to be and how I'm supposed to be and where I'm supposed to be, it's just difficult. Just difficult. Now, how many of you are surprised that I said that? Anybody? Because we usually do what? You're doing okay, but you need to do better. Right? You ever been to church and felt like that? Or been to some service and you're like, I was doing pretty good till I got there, and now I'm way back down here. Amen? Amen? There's always that, you know, where I work out, there's always that guy there. I feel pretty good about doing what I do. There's somebody over there, you know, doing about 10 or 12 miles an hour, you know, while they're texting and crocheting and, you know, and all this kind of thing. I'm just doing good to walk upright and chew bubble gum. And, you know, difficult. Faithfulness is hard. I think there's a couple reasons it's hard. Keeping vows are hard. Keeping promises are hard. Say, it shouldn't be hard. You think about the number of divorces. Think about the number of people who struggle in this area for all kinds of reasons. Faithfulness is hard. Keeping a vow is hard. Let me just switch from marriage. But we need an army of lawyers just to buy a car. Because people don't do what they're supposed to. And companies don't do what they're supposed to. I think some of the most legal things I had to sign when we purchased a home in North Carolina was about termites. Small print. I reckon that's because it was termites, right? And, you know, and it was just gobbledygook about, you know, that the house may have had a termite within a few miles of it. There's all these kind of things. We have to have an army of lawyers just to get us to say what we mean and to keep us on track. Your faithfulness is hard. Keeping our vows is hard. Honoring our promises. I'll do that. I'll be there. Nope. I'll show up when I'm supposed to. Allison got introduced in the real world when she was working down on Cedar Bluff at the cookout. Great restaurant, great food, and wonderful milkshakes. And shouldn't talk about this before lunch. And she'd go into work. Some of you are going to nod, just say, she'd go into work. And she'd call 2 hours later saying they're going to send me home. And I'd say, no, you tell them you're scheduled to work from what to what, and they got to keep you. He says, well, they got too many people. I said, they got too many people because they thought so many people are going to flake out. You showed up, and you showed up the day before, and you showed up the day before. They're not going to punish you for being faithful. They can send the slackers home. He said, what do I tell them? I said, you can tell them that I said send the slackers home. And I pick her up at 5:30, whatever. I said, what'd you tell him? I didn't say slacker, but I just said, you know, I need to work and these other people won't show up. And so they said, you make a good point. So they kept her and on there. Why? Because you got to overschedule because you don't think people are going to show up. People show up. I'm talking to the crystal man over there. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. And faithfulness is hard. People honor their promises. Don't keep their word there. Just simply being trustworthy. Simply being trustworthy. Keeping your word, doing what you're supposed to do, and being trustworthy. Some of you said, preacher, it's Sunday. You're talking about my every Monday. Why are you talking about this? Because we're talking about faithfulness. This is a bottom line, rubber meets the road, day in, day out. You in the mirror and you with other people. We're talking about this characteristic where we get our ideal from God Himself. And we're talking about God being faithful. We got to know what it looks like in flesh walking around here. It's hard. It's got to be hard because so many people are unfaithful. And so many of us struggle with being faithful. You still with me? Say amen. Anybody? I'm getting pretty close to where you live. I'm getting close to where I live. So we're being faithful. Faithfulness is hard. I think faithfulness is rare. I just think faithfulness is rare. Be able to trust somebody. Old comedian said, you know, you can trust me. You can trust me and your family in a Motel 6. I never knew why it was a Motel 6, but anyway, that was his little catch line and all. You can trust me. Trust me. People ask me for different things. And they'll say, can you do this? Or what do you think about this person? I used to get a call all the time. People would be hiring an associate pastor or something like this. And I'd always say the same thing to them. I'd say, you know, I haven't worked with them. I had them as a student. But what I know of them as a student, I would trust them. And if I really knew them a little bit, I'd say I would trust them with my children. You know, the best thing I could say was I have trusted them with my children. But we don't say that about everybody, right? Some of you are just nervous you can be thinking about trusting anybody with anything. Some of you take photographic evidence if somebody borrows a tool from you, amen? You prick their finger and write it in blood. I will have this back, amen? We'll have this back. Have this back. Kids borrow something from me, they laugh. Everybody's going to start laughing now. And this woman will say, borrow something from me. I'm going to say, whose is that? Where does it go back to? What are you doing? If I have to come in your room to find it, am I going to be happy? Why? Why? Because do what you're supposed to do is rare. It is unbelievable. When we're talking about God being faithful and always being faithful, we're talking about something we hardly ever see humanly. Faithfulness is rare. Faithfulness is hard. Faithfulness is desired. Faithfulness is desired. We don't want to marry someone we think is going to cheat on us. We don't want to hire an employee we think is going to steal from us. We don't want to buy an automobile we think is going to break down on the way home. We want something that is dependable and can be trusted. We want someone. We want that in our life. We want that. We want to be faithful. And we may want to be lazy. We may want to flake out. We want people to think of us this way. I think that's a God-given thing. And if you're a believer, if you're a Christ follower, then you want this. So faithfulness, I think it's hard. I think it's obvious and easy to see. It's hard. It's hard. It is easy to get married. It is hard to stay married. No amens, but a lot of nods. It is easy to be employed. It is hard to be faithful to be employed. People have been somewhere 20, 25, 30 years. They are to be applauded. Hard. It's difficult. It's rare. Unfortunately, it's rare. I will do this simply because I said I will do it. And it is desired. It is wanted. Now, I lay this out for us. What does that look like with God? What does that look like with God Himself? I think you'll find it. I've got several scriptures. I'm going to put a lot of these online for you. You can write them down as you can here, but I didn't want to bury you. I think when we're talking about God being faithful, I think it looks like this. I think number one, I think God does what He says He will do. God does what He says He will do. Let me help you. God always does what He says that He will do. He always does what He says He will do. God is faithful. God is faithful. His word is faithful. He can be trusted. Matthew chapter 25, verse 23. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler of many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. "The things which you have heard of me among many witnesses, same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." God, in His reflection to us, you see that God always does what He says He will do. Hebrews says that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Psalm says that His word will not fail, that whatever God says, it will come to pass. You can mark it down that God does what He says that He will do. Does what He says He will do. He says He will save them to uttermost. I really don't think that's talking at all about security. I think it's talking about His faithfulness. That God said if He would save you, this is what He's going to save you. It's a parable there about the men earning wages. They hire somebody at 8, and they hire somebody at 10, hire somebody at 12, 1, and then they hire somebody right at 4. And then at 5 o'clock, they pay everybody. And they said, and they come up, and the guy who's worked all day gets a coin, and the guy who only worked for an hour gets a coin. And the guy comes and says, "Hey, I worked all day. I should have got more money." He says, no, you agreed to a coin. And I agreed to pay the guy who started working at 4 and only worked an hour a coin. I have kept my word. I have been faithful to what I have said that I would do. God will do what He says He will do. You can count on God. God does not lie. He cannot lie. He's not a man that He could lie. God is faithful. He will absolutely do what He says He will do. Secondly, God will keep His promise. Faithful is He that calls you. God will keep His promise. Somebody said there are 365 promises in the Bible. They're actually closer to 1,000 promises in the Bible. Some have to do with judgment. Some have to do with the earth. Some have to do with the new kingdom, the new heaven. But God's promises to us, He will always keep. We looked at the verses just a few weeks ago. God cares for you. Anybody here ever broke a promise? Nod your head, wave at me, blink at me. God has never one time ever broke a promise. He's never disappointed anyone. You ever broke the promise and then realize you broke the promise in front of someone who was expecting you to fulfill what you said you were going to do? Say, "I've never broken a promise." Ask your children and your grandchildren. You want to be real humble, humbled real fast? Let them rattle off a bunch of stuff at you. God keeps His promises. Can I flip that around? God's never shaded anything. He's never twisted anything. He's never maneuvered anything. God has said exactly what He meant, and God has carried out to the letter His promises. His promises. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, the Bible says what? The Bible says that to whom He has called, what? He will do what? That God is working out all things for His good, and for our good, and for His glory. And I can bank on that. He has done that. He can always be counted upon. He can always be counted upon. It's hard to run a business if you can't count on your employees. The overscheduling, right? It's hard to make any plans. You can't count on anybody. My mom has a friend. She says, we're supposed to go out for lunch. We'll see if she shows up. That's my mom's real nice way of saying they're not faithful. They're not faithful. Maybe they'll come. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll do this. Some of you in high school and college, you had to do group projects with people. You didn't mind a group project, but you minded the people you were with, amen? Because you were scared to death they weren't going to do or what they'd do. They'd turn in a Ziggy comic for their part of the process. And you're like, this is just bad because you didn't think they were faithful. My God can always be counted upon. He is the El Shaddai. He is, you won't go through these Old Testament names, and as we unpack this in the year, I'm going to walk you through some of those names here. But God is exactly what I need. He is the one who covers. He is the one. The Bible uses the two different phrases, and God is spirit. He's not a man or a woman, but there's this fatherly love of God, and then there's this motherly love of God, and He can always be counted upon. He always knows what to say and how to say it, but you can always bank on Him. You ever felt alone? There's a difference in feeling alone and being alone. Nod your head if you're with me here. You can be alone and not feel alone. I know that's a little deep, but it really is true. And you can be with people and feel completely alone. God, you can always count on Him. He has never left you. He will never leave you. He is right there beside you. He is absolutely positively faithful. He can be counted upon. And He's able to do what He says. He's able to do what He says. Now unto Him who is able, to the God with all power. Part of the revelation accolades that come forth as we call Him, and He is the Lord God Almighty. He is the Lord who can do anything and do everything. He has all power. He's able to do what He says. There are things I can do and things I can't do. Early yesterday morning, was at a meeting of our area church leaders, and guy was up there, and he was playing the guitar, and he was singing a duet. Somebody help me, harmony. But a guy who was playing the piano and singing, they were both singing, both playing the instrument, and then the guy who was playing and leading was singing was actually leading us. Now, I can't play an instrument. If I found somebody to take my place in our little ensemble group up here, I would have you up here post haste. But to play and lead and do all that, not look like it's bothering me, and adjust the mic. I don't know. If you're doing a guitar and doing this and you adjust the mic and you never miss a note, I watched it and didn't understand it. Is everybody with me here? And the guy was playing the piano and he wiped his nose and he fixed his hair and never missed a note. And hopefully he disinfected the piano later. But anyway, he did all that and never. How do you? Some of you are going, that's no big deal. Well, it's a big deal for me, for several reasons. Yeah, I know it's no big deal. And he can do what he says. God says he'll take you to heaven. He can do what he says. God said he'll forgive you your sins. He can do what he says. God said that he's adding on a room to his home in heaven and we'll be forever with him. He can do what he says. God says that greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. He is able to do what he says. There's no check he can write. He cannot cash. There's no promise he can make that he cannot fulfill. He is not constrained by time, your past, the present, or the future. He is absolutely always there and he can do what he says. God is faithful. God is faithful. So what does that mean to us? Glad you asked. What does that mean to us? How's that going to reflect out in our lives? How many of you are feeling pretty good right now? God is faithful. What does that mean for us? What does that mean for believers to be faithful. There are at least a dozen of these. I'm going to offer you about four of them this morning. I want you to hang on real tight. You with me still? Say amen. Say amen. I want to offer them to you. Believer being faithful. There's a word that's used, and it's translated a couple different ways. Some of you like these kind of things. It's the word pistos, P-I-S-T-O-S is how it's transliterated, and it works its way out. When we talk about this idea here, this is what we're talking about. Majority of times, this idea that I've described to you about God's faithfulness is translated in the Bible, or mentioned rather in the Bible, about believers. It's usually the idea of being trustworthy. Being trustworthy. I want to ask you, if God is faithful and He's working in your heart and your life, are you trustworthy? By the way, so this doesn't have any relationship to me. Part of the fruit of the Spirit, part of the inward working and changing your heart and your attitudes is the fruit of the Spirit, and one of those is faith, faithfulness. And God is helping you to be trustworthy, to be trustworthy. Over and over again, I read some of those passages earlier. Matthew 24, the faithful and wise servant. Matthew 24, 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household? See, how can I know that God is helping me be faithful when other people trust you? You ought to be trustworthy. People can hand you responsibility and know that it will either be done, or you've been prohibited by God Himself or some accident or something. It'll be out of your character to not do that. Be trustworthy. Let me give you a little time out here. We got generations in these here United States that don't have a first clue what trustworthiness looks like. I'm not mad at them. I think it's a generational responsibility that we for somehow didn't teach to those generations. But you got all kind of people, and you can't. We can't buy enough security systems and lock enough doors and buy enough weapons and put up enough cameras because we don't think people are trustworthy. Trustworthy. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. And the Lord said, "Who is that faithful and wise steward?" He uses a different word there. Who the Lord shall make ruler. Who is the manager? Part of being faithful is I am able to be trustworthy. We're going to talk about it as we get closer to our generosity banquet. But part of that is I am trustworthy what God gives me. I can handle it and manage it well. God is going to hold me accountable for that. He's going to ask one day, what's going on? What'd you do with what I gave you here? And part of that is I get to do that. By the way, how many of you think if you want, God can't trust you with a dollar, He's not going to trust you with a hundred. If He can't trust you with a hundred, He's not going to trust you with a thousand. Anybody besides me think God's smarter as we are? Smarter than we are? We get to do this. He trusts us with things. He trusts us with people. He trusts us with events and opportunities. To be faithful means to be trustworthy. It's used talking about being believing. It's talked about being believing. John chapter 20, verse 27. And he said to Thomas, "Reach hither your finger, behold my hands, reach hither your hand, and thrust at my side, and be not faithless, but be believing." One of the major ways it's translated here is to be believing. See, to be faithful means that I have full faith in God, and who He says He is, and what He says He's done. It's hard to be a faithful person if you lack the faith part of that. Nod your head if you still understand that. To be believing. Let me switch it around there. To be believing there is to be a synonym for being a Christian. Be a synonym for being a Christian. This should characterize my life. Unfaithful. Can't trust. Got to hunt people down. Never. There is a spiritual problem in their life. Say, "I don't like blah, blah, blah church. You need to find another church." Just that simple. The believer, exceptions, and I got people hurt and struggling. I'm talking about the normal course of life. To regard people who are absolutely unfaithful and call them believers is antithetical to Scripture. Is everybody with me here? There's a spiritual problem there. Spiritual problem. And it probably is. They're just not a believer in Christ. They're just not a follower of Christ. say, is it always true? No, I think people can have perfect attendance and don't know Jesus either. Is everybody with me here? But this is, the Bible uses a synonym here. Synonym here. And by the way, and I'm not talking about weeks. I'm talking about pattern of life. Everybody with me here? I think God takes a long look. I think sometimes we're real quick. Somebody misses two services, like, oh, this is a big problem, spiritual problem. It's maybe sick. I don't have any idea. But this is where we are. Believing. This is what I want in my heart. I want to be with other Christians. I want to be there. And so to be believing is a way that this faithfulness is related to us here. It can mean also to be reliable. It can mean also to be reliable. And I'm trying to be quick here because I've got something I really want to say here at the end. It can mean that I can be reliable. Again, this is a faithful saying. Excuse me. To be reliable. I've lost my notes. Oh, there it is. To be reliable here. Acts chapter 13, verse 34. And as certain as he was concerning that he raised him up from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he said, I will give you the sure mercies of David. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. I read the wrong verse there. This is a faithful saying worthy of all expectations that Christ came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is a reliable saying. The scriptures are reliable. You should be reliable because God has done this in your heart and your life. You should be reliable. See, preacher, boy, I'm really getting convicted now. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to draw you to the point of that if God is faithful and he's at work in your life, these things should be budding up and beginning to be fruitful in your life. And it should look like you are trustworthy. And it should characterize you as being a believer. And you should be reliable, like the scriptures are reliable. It's a synonym. I mentioned this a moment ago. Synonym for being a Christian. Synonym for being a Christian. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra. This is Paul. And behold, a certain disciple there named Timothy, son of a certain woman who was a Jewess and believed. So word there, faithful. But his father was a Greek. Acts chapter 16, verse 15. Speaking of Lydia there, she was baptized in her household as she besought us and came to us saying, if you have observed, you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. Come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. In America, somebody says, I'm a believer, and we keep on going. In a lot of the parts of the world, you say you're a believer, and they say, fine, we'll watch you about 6 months. We'll see if you really, really mean it. Really mean it. Well, watch your head here. Wave at me here for a second. Look at me. An emotional decision is an emotional decision. I like what the old preacher says. Not how high you jump and how loud you shout, but it's how straight you walk when you hit the ground. I can get revved up about football. Truth of the matter is, I get a little revved up thinking about soup and wings tonight. Just to be real honest with you. It ain't about being revved up. It's about I have committed to him, and God is working this in my life, and it is a sin of a Christian. It used to be that way, wasn't it? Some of you a little older than I am, used to be that way. If you said that person's faithful, you almost immediately implied that they followed Christ. Some years ago, we were at a place and helping. It was just an interim kind of situation, and they were running 150, 200. But they had a list of about 450 people that said they came to that church. Not visited. I'm not talking about like last year. We had a lot of people come through here for different. I'm saying that's where they went. And I said, well, guys, you know, this is not the case, you know. And the guy was looking at me and said, well, this person's moved, this person's dead, and this person's... I said, well, you need to take them off a roll. Oh, well, we can't do that. I said, I don't think the person who passed away minds if their name's on the roll. And I'm not being macabre here, but you know, I don't think they care. You put them, you know, die in the Lord. I mean, they're not active members. I'm not being stupid. They're not. And the guy who lives in Indiana is not driving down here to South Carolina in the morning. Go to service. Nod your head if everybody still thinks, you know, I got any sense at all about this thing. Well, you know. I said, they got to do this because, I said, you're equating membership what it means to be a Christ follower. I said, they should follow one another. I said, but the Christ follower has these things that are characteristic of them, and the last thing that it The last thing they really care about is that somebody's clinging to this. They're going to be faithful to the church that they're attending and they're close to and that they're plugged into here. And we're worried about this. That's religion. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a heart relationship with Christ that where faithfulness just begins to exude out and they're trustworthy. And one of the best compliments for them is that they're believing. They're full, so full of faith that it's obvious that they belong to Him. Belong to Him. Trustworthy. Believing, reliable. It's a synonym for being a follower of Christ. It can also be a true heart. I'm done. This idea of truthfulness, veracity from Jesus Christ, Revelation 21:5. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful, the true witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, and to Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Jesus is absolutely true. And I can look at this and this characterizes me. Man, I'm to have a true heart. I'm to be right-minded. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 5 or verse 15. What concord has Christ with Belial? And what part has he that believes that is faithful with an infidel? I've got the right heart. I've got the right idea there. Now wait for it. God is faithful. Believers should be faithful. Wait for it. Because God is faithful. We should be faithful. There's an L missing there. We should be faithful. So, well, preacher, you just put out a tall order. I put out a biblical order. That work of God in our hearts and lives should be producing faithfulness. So you preaching on faithfulness because it's the start of the year. I'm really not. You're preaching on faithfulness because it's... I'm really not. I preach on faithfulness because the Bible talks about faithfulness. I preach on faithfulness because we all just said at the start of our message that what? Faithfulness is hard and it's rare. Faithfulness is something that we should all desire and we do desire. We think it's a great and wonderful compliment. What is that going to look like? What's it going to flesh out and look like? Number one, because God does what He says He will do. Because God keeps His promises. Because God can always be counted upon. Because God is able to do what He says. Then we should. We should do what we say we're going to do. We should do what we say we're going to do. We should do what we say we're going to do. So that's real simple. I can take you from here to downtown and show you about 150 lawyers to say differently. Some of you get real honest. Worst days in your life when somebody did not do what they said they were going to do. Say that's just old school. Your words, your bond. It may be old school, but it's your Bible school. Do what you say you're going to do. Let your yea be yea and your no be no. Don't have to do that. They had this bad habit. If they sweared by the rock, they were probably lying. If they sweared by their family, they might be telling the truth. If they swore by the temple, they really were telling the truth. Don't have to have all these other things. Just say yes and just say no. Just say it and then do it. Do what you say that you will do. So what if you can't? Do what you're supposed to. I need you to release me from this. I'm unable to do this. You ask my children in front of me or without me. I mean, if I've come to them and say, this is going on, I am jammed up, I have promised you I will break my head to do this, but if you will release me, I will do this tomorrow. Why? Why? Because I feel constrained that they're looking at me because I talk so much about Him and they're gaining their opinion of God from how I do things. And I want to make sure that they understand that Dad, the best of his ability, is going to do what he says he's going to do. I think that's crazy important. And I think in our lives we need to do that. If you say you're going to do something at work, you say you're going to do something at the job, say do something at home and with each other, that you do what you say you're going to do. You can be counted upon. I think. Means we're going to keep our promises. We'll keep our promises. Let me give you a little timeout. How many of you think sin messes this one up here? I made a promise and the promise is shattered. My heart, their heart, they did something. I feel justified. Anybody besides me, you've broken a promise and you felt like you were justified in doing it? Anybody besides the preacher? Sin messes with this one, doesn't it? Well, keep a promise. He who makes a vow should not do it quickly or hastily or unadvisedly. Keep your promise. Keep your promise. Yeah, I'm going to do it. That's a promise. I'll take out the trash. I'll do this. I'll keep your promise. You'd be better off keeping your mouth shut and your thumbs off that keyboard. Keep your promise. Keep your promise. Do what you say you're going to do. God will do that. We should do that. Number three, be able to be counted upon. Be able to be counted upon. Faithful. You can count on me. You count on me when it's raining. You count on me when I'm happy. You count on me when I'm sad. You can count on me. Be able to be counted upon. Be able to be counted upon. Guy, he's sitting here, thrilled my heart a couple months ago. I was asking him something and all. He looked at me and said, "Preacher, I am here." I started to say something. I thought, nope. He answered my question and my three follow-ups. You can count on me. You can count on me. Won't you love that? Won't you love that expression? You love that thought. You can't. I'm not going anywhere. My wife and I have the same joke. She says, wherever and whenever, as long as we're together, I would like time to pack. I like that heart, don't you? Wherever and whenever, as long as we're together, I would like time to pack. Be able to be countable. You can count on me. There are people in this room, when I've had a rough day, when I've had a bad week, when I had something going on, I can pick up the phone, I can bump you online or something. I know that you will stop what you are doing and you can be counted upon to take me and take whatever situation to the throne of God in prayer. There's people who weren't able to be here today. They had a previous commitment that had something going on. You're very early this morning. I told them about Mel and Shirley, and immediately he said, I stopped what I was doing and I talked to God. You can be counted upon. By the way, it's hard to have a church. Hard to have a church if you never know who you can count on. You can't have a business. You can't have much of a family. I'm here. You count on me. Faithfulness to God should be a daily thing that spills over into our Sunday worship. Say amen if you believe it. Faithfulness to God is a daily thing that spills over in our worship. In America, we've got it backwards, don't it? We've got something that happens on Sunday that might spill over into our week. It's opposite. Be able to be counted upon. Say, man, that's a tall order. I'm done. Rely upon God for strength to do what He commands. Faithfulness is hard. I think it's hard. Faithfulness is rare. Well, I got that one. Faithfulness is desired. But if you rattle off what I did, and again, there's about 12 other ways it's used in the Scripture. If you rattle off all that, man, that is a tall order, isn't it? I'm more unfaithful in some of those things than I am faithful. I'm going to have God's help. Boy, do you feel that? Do you feel that tension? Anybody besides me feel that tension? Man, I'm not all there. You there? Anybody? Just a preacher under conviction. I'll go forward in just a second. I got to finish before I can do that. Everybody with me? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24. It's on the bulletin. It's going to be down. It's already down the hall. It's here. It's going to be outside on the sandwich board when we print it. We just didn't do it because it was supposed to rain today. Faithful is He who calls you. God is faithful. Who will do what? Verse 23, who will sanctify, that is make you holy, all of you, and get you ready to be in front of God Himself. God is at work in your life, and He has never been late and never missed an appointment and never broken a promise. And God wants to do that in your heart and life. Say, I'm just not very good at this, and I'm not where I ought to be, and I'm not doing those things. You unfaithful, God is faithful. You are not sufficient and God is sufficient. And God is saying, I want to help you. I can help you. I can do exactly what I promised and I can bring you perfect to Him. Say, preacher, I got so much baggage. I got so much baggage. I got so much. Faithful is He who calls you. Only God can forgive your past. Only God can change your life, your future story. Only God can do exactly what He's commanded. Only God. Only God. Why? Because He is faithful. He is faithful. See, preacher, I want to be that man. I want to be that woman. I want to be the person that is dependable and reliable. And again, I'm not talking about an employee checklist here. I'm talking about in the spirit, in my character, in my relationship to other people. This is what I want to be. And despite my past, this is what I want to be now. Great. You're going to need God's help. You're going to absolutely need God's help. Faithful is He who calls you. God is faithful. Pray with me right now. Our heads are bowed, and we do this to make things private for others. We do it as a sense of worship to God. God is faithful. You say, Pastor, this morning, that's who I want to be. That's what I want to be. It all starts if you. It all starts if you've not asked Christ to save you from your sins. There's never been a time where you said, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins and I'm ready to leave that life behind. I've hurt you, I've hurt your heart, I'm hurting me, I'm hurting others. And today, I want you to be my new master. I want you to be my Lord. Save me from my sins. Change my life. Today's your day. Some of you made that commitment recently. God is honored and God is starting to build out that faith in your life. Faith that only happens on a Sunday and faith that's only religious is not real faith, because this kind of faith and faithfulness changes our lives. And it's got these different looks to it. God is doing so many neat things. But if you've never asked Christ to save you from your sins, today's your day. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. I won't do any of those things. But God is saying to you, I am ready and desiring, and I want to change your life. For some of you today, you're like, you know, this is my moment. I prayed with a young man yesterday morning. He said, I've just not been living for God. What he was saying was, I've not been faithful to God like He's been faithful to me. God is speaking to your heart today. And God, I want you to do this in my life. I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful because you've been faithful to me. And I want these things in my heart and my life. Some of you right now, you,